The address that you're about to hear was written over 10 years ago. It was written as part of a novel, and the background I've included in a blog that I've written so that I don't overload this address at the moment. But in the context of the novel as I wrote it, this was an address delivered by a visiting American bishop to a congregation on the third Sunday in Lent at the Cathedral of the Holy Trinity in Auckland, New Zealand. At the time when I wrote it, as with the writing of the novel as a whole, the composition of this sermon was a significant stepping point in my own life. I deliver it now on this third Sunday in Lent, over 10 years later, with only one or two minor amendations. Basically, I stand by what I wrote 10 years ago. For ancient Israel, as for modern Israel, the question was, how long can we live in this land? They weren't concerned about how long they might live individually, nor were they concerned about living life after death. They had no notion of living life after death. Then, as now, the Jewish people in the land of Palestine felt themselves and were physically threatened, their continued existence always challenged. It's a question that dominates our entire world today, not just the Israelis or the Palestinians. It's a question that dominates the lives of many individual communities and countries. But the question hangs over the whole planet, over all humanity. And it's this question which, above everything else, marks out the 21st century. Just as human activity has caused thousands of species of plants and animals to become extinct, so now the reality of our own extinction faces us and will come about unless we make radical changes to our culture, to the whole spectrum of our values, practices, and beliefs. That's the situation of humanity at this time, the whole of humanity. This is the challenge we face that defines our time. How can we, as a human species, live long on this planet or on some other planet? And by live long, we mean not just the next few years, or the next century, or even the next 1,000 years, but perhaps tens of millions of years. Potentially our human species, or whatever we evolve into over time, can last the majority of that distance. Whether we can do so, whether we can even last the distance of this century, is a question that challenges us, because we at the start of the 21st century are we, that excludes no one and no society. We, meaning global we hold the key. We can, by our choices, make possible or impossible the continuation of the human species on Earth. This I see as the core role of the Christian Church in this century. To confront this challenge is what we're here for. To identify, articulate, display, lead, and incarnate those core values that alone can give humanity hope. Hope has always been at the heart of what Christianity represents in the world. For many centuries, that hope focused on life beyond death. That's an issue of little or no relevance in the modern global world, not even, let's be frank, among Christians. What does matter for us, as it mattered for our forebears in the faith in ancient Israel, is what will enable us to live long in the land. In centuries past, the Christian Church held up two alternatives to people, heaven or hell, and with what destiny they ended up depended on their present choice. So today, we present the global world the simple choice, that we may have descendants in this land or humanity come to an end. The destiny lies with the choices we make in the present. If there's any meaning at all to our experience of what we call God, it has to be that this God calls us to life, and not just life for ourselves with no care for the future, but to life for all potential human future. If we ignore this challenge, if we work against human survival and do nothing to enable it to happen, we violate our whole relationship with God. What are the choices we must make? We will of a certainty have to develop new technologies and we'll need a new political system. But above all else, we have to develop a new set of values. Values that are critical to survival. And we have to do so on a global scale. That's why we've moved into a time of global culture. The values of survival are global values. We are the generation that will establish or fail to establish the values that will determine humanity's future. Finding those values is a matter for all communities, all creeds. Our responsibility as Christians is to share our answers, our insights and understanding, and to provide in company with non-Christians the leadership. But what's even more important is that we live our answers. Our calling is to be pioneers of a new way of living. Today, on this third Sunday in Lent, we read the Ten Commandments. Let's be straight and say God never handed down these commandments to Moses on Mount Sinai. That was a fiction created to give them a patina of authority. They were compiled centuries later, product of very human processes of thinking about what were the core values of their Hebrew society. Behind the Ten Commandments lay the question that is our question. How can we live long in the land? What values do we need to possess if we are to survive? These are core values. And if we neglect or violate these values, it's not a case of being divinely punished. These are the values of our survival. When we violate them, we threaten our survival. When we neglect them in total, we guarantee our end. I'm not talking about keeping the Ten Commandments. We need to recognize them for what they are, the formulation of priests some two or three centuries before Jesus in response to the situation they confronted. They don't authoritatively determine our values. These we have to find for ourselves just as those ancient priests found them for their society. If we fail to find these values, if finding them, we fail to make them part of our common life globally, if we allow forces to violate or destroy them, then we will not survive long in this land. We will not survive long on this planet. No amount of technology will save us. Humanity will become as extinct as a saber-toothed tiger, and it's frighteningly conceivable that we'll take the rest of organic life with us. I am no Moses, even in fiction. But today I wish to state 10 core values that I see as central to human life in the 21st century, values that are key to our long-term survival. I don't express these values as thou shalt or thou shalt not. They defy crystallization as such sharp injunctions. Life is and always will be too complicated and ambiguous to reduce to a set of simple rules. What we need to grasp is the broad values that determines our priorities. The order is important, for we can never fulfill every value. We are always choosing between values, because affirming one always involves denial or compromise with another. No one can ever say, like the rich young man in the Jesus story, I have kept all these from my childhood. So knowing the order of priorities is as important as identifying the core values themselves. Number one, God. I make no apologies in following the lead of the Ten Commandments and putting God at the head of the list of core values. Our ideas about God, formed over centuries, have been turned upside down in the last half century. The experience has been traumatic for the church. But out of the trauma, we're finding not just new meaning to the concept of God, but a new recognition of the centrality of God to the whole of existence and to the struggle for human survival. We're discovering the encounter with God as not confined to Christians, but experienced in multitudes of ways by people on the planet, including those who, for various reasons, reject even the notion of God. Humanity can't survive unless it comes to terms with the reality that is central to all existence and to which people give many names, but we term God. Number two, life, organic life. The existence of life on earth is of far greater value than that of the human species. If our effort to perpetuate our species threatens all life on the planet, then we must accept the risk of our extinction. Number three, diversity of life. Diversity holds the key to long-term survival of life. Species are dying out at an alarming rate. Diversity is not something optional and nice. Diversity is nature's defense against environmental change. With every species, plants or animal that our actions wipe out, our chances of survival diminishes. Number four, humanity. Our biological species, Homo sapiens, or whatever our species develops into over time. We need to value ourselves and our survival. We don't have a guaranteed place in the universe or on this planet. We are vulnerable, just as vulnerable as our kiwi or kakapo. We could easily go the way of the moa, and just as quickly. unless we put a high value on our survival, we won't survive. If you think this is self-evident, just look around. Most of our economic decisions worldwide are decisions made against long-term human survival. Number 5, what it means to be truly human. Being human is about living with integrity. A life that holds together as worthwhile living. We can only be truly human when we live in a community characterized by self-giving love. The archetype of that love is to be seen in the life of Christ as portrayed in the Gospels. To live life as full, complete human beings, we are called to break down the barriers that divide person from person, community from community, culture from culture. We are called to integrity in all our actions. We are called to live our lives in openness to the creative spirit and abundant grace. This is not about being religious. It's about being able to survive as humanity on this earth. Number 6, creativity. Creative people are scary people. They're constantly pulling us out of our comfort zones, challenging us, pointing us in new directions. Creativity is another key to our survival. When we look at the challenges facing humanity, only a creative approach will find the pathways. Creativity in art and literature, science and technology, economics and business, politics, philosophy, and religion. Our message proclaims the creative spirit within all humanity and all human activity. God is in the midst of us. The task that faces humanity is nothing less than the creation of an entirely new culture across the whole globe, a culture that will change the face of everything we do and think. The creativity required for the task is huge. Some would say impossible. What we in the Christian community are saying is that all the creative resources we need are given to us. We lack nothing. Number 7, peace. Humanity has the tools to self-destruct. We have come to a point across the whole globe where we have to value peace and eliminate the chance of self-destruction. Number 8, justice. There can be no peace without justice. But what is justice? We have a just society when everyone has the opportunity to live a full human life. The scale of changes that will be required to make survival possible will have huge cost in economic and social terms. The way we handle that process will be crucial. The role of the Christian Church is to keep the value of justice constantly in the forefront of those making the decisions, challenging them where necessary, supporting them also in the hard choices that they have to make. We have to be the advocates for those who are weak and have no voice or power to control their own destiny. That extends to the advocacy for everyone in the future, to thousands of generations. The right to resources that will enable them to survive. The right to an environment in which it will be possible for them to live. Number 9. global culture, the common heritage of future humanity. Global culture is the moulding of our values, beliefs, behaviours, everything we do to be such that humanity can survive, and survive in a way that makes it worthwhile to go on living. We need to treasure this new culture, not because it's good, or because it's better than the old, or because it's new, but because it is our only hope for survival. And number 10, our heritage from the past. Whether we be Western or Polynesian or Chinese or Indian or Islamic, for Christians, the shape of the way the Christian life will work out over the coming century will change utterly the face of what we've known to this point. But we must never forget our roots in the past. If we lose our sense of the past, we lose our way in the present. It is imperative that we value and respect the past and all the richness of our cultural heritage. Here then is what I see as the 10 core values of the world as it has to be going into this 21st century. It's a world of global culture. In each and every one of these values, the Christian church must play a central and critical role. If we fail to do so, we fail God, and we fail the whole of humanity, for none of us will live long in the land. My faith remains strong that we will not fail in our calling, and that the human community can and will respond to this challenge. This is not a faith based in confidence in humanity nor in technology. My confidence rests in a confidence in God. Not in a God who will ride in to rescue us when we've made a mess of things, but in a God who provides us in grace with all the resources we need to meet our challenges. There's no magic salvation, no Jesus coming at the last day. The life of faith says to the human community and to each of us individually, you lack nothing. Our destiny is in our hands, given to us by God.